Amen. Well, if you're a guest with us, welcome. My name's Pastor Derek. I'm one of the pastors here at Applewood. And if you're visiting, one thing we ask is that in the seat back in front of you, there is a blue card that looks just like this. Would you take a few moments and fill it out? And then after the service, if you would exit through these doors, myself and our team, we're going to be out there. We'd love to grab your card, learn your name, hear a little bit about your story. We have a gift for you. And I want to take a moment. We have two special visitors at our church today. One is my mom. She's here from Florida. And my little brother here from Minnesota. So grateful to have you guys here. If you want to hear testimony of the power of God to change a life, talk to him after the service. I was in a very dark place, and my mom prayed and prayed and prayed, and God heard her prayer, and at 17, opened my eyes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So grateful for both of you. Glad you're here, and thank you, Mom, for praying for me for all those years. So if you are new here, everyone grab your Applewood today. I just want to highlight a couple things before we get into the sermon. The gathering, if you're here, our singles group, 25 to 30. A lot of the churches have forgotten about this demographic, this age group, not us. We're having a special lunch today, the gathering. If you're 25 to 30 and want community and connection, talk to us. We'll get you the details for that immediately after service. Also, this Thursday, we have a special event here at the church at 9:30. One of our IMB missionaries that we support, she's going to be here, and she's serving. And church, just hearing what God is doing throughout the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ is amazing. She's in one of the hardest areas for the gospel. It's so hard, she's not allowed to even tell us where she is serving at. But that's Thursday, 9:30, Women on Mission. It's for everyone. Hopefully you'll come. I promise you'll be encouraged if you set apart that time. And then lastly, this is a save the date special business meeting, Sunday, August 3rd. We recently had a sync meeting. There's a lot of things to be excited for. One is that we're going to present Joel Matthew to you as a church to affirm him, to hire him full-time to the position of director of young adults. He's been doing such a great job. Can we give a round of applause? So members, this meeting is right after second service. Grab a donut, get some more coffee. That's the 3rd of August, and that's the only order of business for that meeting. So it should be brief, okay? All right, with that, grab your Bibles. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter, we are starting a new series this morning. We finished 1 Peter last Sunday, so if you're new for the first time, what a great Sunday to be with us as we're starting a new series. We preach through books of the Bible verse by verse. And as we finished last week, 1 Peter, I was thinking, what was the main theme that we saw through that long study of that incredible book? With 1 Peter, he focused on church embracing suffering, embracing persecution as a part of the gospel. And remember, through that first letter, he encouraged the church to remember that one day suffering will end and we will be with Jesus. Until then, hold on and keep your eyes fixed on the living hope. Well, this second letter we're going to dive into, it's going to be a shorter series, but it's going to have a different theme. Peter now is going to focus not on the dangers from the outside, like Nero and government and persecuting the church, but you're going to see, we're going to see together in this series, he's going to focus on within, the dangers within the Christian community, specifically referring to false teachers who come into the Christian community, the church. They begin to twist truth. They begin to lead people astray by changing the gospel, perverting the gospel, just enough to lead people to hell instead of leading them to eternal life. Now, as we're thinking about this letter, this book is so relevant to us today because we live in similar times. Just think for a moment, all the false gospels right now, 2025, that are being preached all throughout the world and embraced, which are simply not true. Let me give you some examples. Beware. The prosperity gospel, where Jesus came primarily to make you healthy and wealthy. It's wrong. Our hope is to come. Amen, church? the moralistic gospel, which focuses on outward behavior, clean yourself up, legalism, rules, look a certain way, dress a certain way, behave a certain way. And it focuses on outward behavior instead of inner transformation through the work of the Holy Spirit. We have the self-help gospel. There's a lot of churches believing in this, where the gospel is all about you. You are the center of the redemptive history. And all that matters is when you come to church that you are motivated and inspired that God is going to bless you and make your life wonderful. Okay? A lot of pulpits have embraced that. Not true. The social justice gospel, where God sees people by race or basically the oppressed and the oppressors. And Jesus' goal was to liberate people from worldly oppressors. Beware, not the gospel. Then we have this political gospel where Jesus embraced a certain political party and he's all about Christian nationalism. That's not the gospel. And I'm going to add one, the churchless gospel, where we're seeing in our day and age where you can have Jesus without the church, that Jesus doesn't care so much about his bride, that you can love him while neglecting his bride. That's crazy and that's a false gospel. Not true. To love Jesus is to love his bride, to value the gathering. So in these first four verses, what are we going to see Peter do? He's going to call them and us back to the basics of true salvation. How do you recognize false salvation? How do you recognize a false gospel? Peter's saying, you know the real salvation and the real gospel, and you know the word of God, where you can recognize if someone starts erring on what they're teaching. This is going to be his strategy. From the very beginning of this letter, this morning, we're going to see he gives a picture of true salvation. He's going to say, remember, church, true salvation, it comes through a person. His name is Jesus Christ. It comes with power through the Holy Spirit, and it's accompanied with promises through God's word to encourage us and to strengthen us. Don't be led astray. So I pray for all of us at all times that we would know the gospel, love the gospel, understand the gospel, where when someone comes trying to teach us something that's not biblical, we don't get led astray. Instead, we correct them and they get led astray. So as we dive in, may God give our hearts and minds to receive his truth this morning. Let's read this together. 2 Peter 4 verses, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. May God add his blessing to the word of God. If you're new here, on the back of the app, what today is a sermon outline, feel free to use that. Here's the title of this morning's message, True Salvation. Turn to the person next to you and say, true salvation. Here's what we're going to see this morning. True salvation is built on the person, power, and promises of Jesus Christ. A lot of people skip over the salutations, the greeting. There's so much here that we're going to unpack together. So if you're filling in point one, here it is. True salvation is built on the person of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So Peter opens this with a typical salutation, introducing himself, giving greetings. When we write our letters, usually at the end we say, sincerely from Ben or Pastor Brad or whatever. Not here. As we look at these letters throughout the New Testament, we see the salutation introduces who's writing, usually who it's to. And that's what Peter is doing. And look at this. Notice how Peter describes himself. He could have described himself in so many ways. What does he say? a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Out of all the ways he could have described himself, he describes himself as a doulos, a slave, a bondservant of Jesus. Peter, his heart posture is in a place of submission, humility, duty, obedience to Jesus. This is who he is, and he's proud of that. I mean, out of all the names, he's excited that he is a bondservant of Jesus. Remember Peter. What did Peter do? He denied Jesus three times. And remember, after Jesus went to the cross and rose again, he shows up to Peter and he says, Peter, don't worry about that. I paid the price of your denial on the cross. You believe, you're righteous, you're forgiven. But what does he say? He says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus. And what does he say? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. Feed my sheep. What is Jesus doing? He's saying, Peter, with the same blood that's washed you clean, with the same blood that forgave your denial of me, I have purchased you. You are mine. You are my son. You are my bondservant. Now, Peter, with your life, every breath, serve me and feed my sheep. He gives Peter purpose. You don't have to wander what your purpose is. If you're in Christ, it's the same thing. We are bondservants. We are his. And what do? We live for him. We serve him. We testify of him. And listen, there is no greater name that you can have besides your name. Some of you have some cool job titles. None of those compare to a bondservant of Jesus Christ. You picture Peter with joy. As a response to grace, he serves. As a response to grace, he loves, he preaches, and he gives his life to glorify God. And all throughout Scripture, this title, bondservant, servant of God, servant of Jesus, it's all over. Moses, one of the greatest leaders of all time, not only just in the Bible, you know what he called himself? A servant of God. Joshua, one of the greatest commanders of all time. What did he call himself? Servant of God. David, one of the greatest kings ever to live. What did he call himself? Servant of God. All the prophets were called servants of God. Paul called himself a servant of Jesus Christ. James called himself a servant of Christ. With that comes purpose, mission, proclamation. And here's the good news this morning. If you are in Christ, you have that same title. And you have that same purpose. God didn't say to Peter, listen, just kind of believe in me. Know what I did. Hang out. Go back to fishing. Live casually, believing in me, telling people about me, and I'll come back and get you or bring you home. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, you're mine. And every day, redeem the time. Build my church. Preach the gospel. And the same is true of us. I pray that you guys would understand this, that I would understand this, that God desires to use us, wants to use us, and he has commissioned us because he's paid for our lives. Through the blood of Jesus, to preach the word, to proclaim. But it doesn't stop there. Not only is he a bondservant, look at what he says. He says, I'm also an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter was one in which Jesus personally called and appointed to preach the gospel and build his church. He was in the inner circle, and he was given special authority along with the disciples to speak the word of God, and with power, signs, and wonders, the ability to affirm that they were truly messengers of Jesus Christ after he died and rose again. They were given power to heal the sick, power over the demonic. All of this was to preach and to build the church. So when Peter says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, with that comes this idea that he's being inspired, that he is speaking on behalf of God, and there's authority to that. When the church would hear that, it's not, oh, I kind of like what Peter has to say. Let's pick this verse and not that verse. None of that. And notice, look at the text, who he's speaking to. To those who have received the faith of the same kind by the righteousness of our God. Similarly to 1 Peter, he's writing to Christians, those who have been scattered because of persecution. And it's so interesting because why does he do this? Why does he tell them who he is? And then why does he remind them who he's speaking to? And he does it in a way where he shares the gospel, because they had false preachers trying to tell them you need more than Jesus. It's Jesus plus tradition. It's Jesus plus circumcision. It's Jesus plus mysticism. And here, Peter's reminding them, listen, I'm writing to those who are saved, not by works, but by what, church? Faith. And are righteous because of Jesus Christ. I love this. This is the gospel. There's one way to have eternal life. There's one way to have the righteousness you need to have eternal life. Here, Peter's reminding them and us, it's through faith in Jesus Christ, period. And the world hates this. They hate that it's exclusive. It's unloving if you tell someone that Jesus is the only way. No, you want to know what's unloving? Not telling them, not offending them, and having them stand before God, still in their sin and judged for all of eternity. That is unloving. Don't let culture silence. This is what we're called to do. This is the beautiful thing of the gospel. There's one way to be righteous: believe and accept through faith the free gift of salvation through Christ. People are going to attack that for believing that. They're going to attack you for preaching that. And they're going to tell you that's not enough, that you got to do all these other things. That's why every Sunday, every time this church is open, I pray that the gospel is proclaimed, that you're righteous because of Jesus. You're going to stand before him, and you're going to be considered worthy, not because you went to church and did everything right, but because Christ died on the cross and did the work for you. By faith. Ephesians 2, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Same thing was happening in the church of Ephesus. We got to protect from false teaching. How do we protect the word of God? Remember the gospel. Remember whose you are and who you are in Christ. Your good works don't save you. Your rites and religion doesn't make you righteous. Your race won't make you righteous. Your denomination won't make you righteous. It's only Jesus. Remember Jesus' words. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Do you believe that? Do you preach that? And do you believe there's going to be a day, not only for yourself, but for the world, to stand before Jesus? And if we believe that, how much do we have to hate people to not share that? This weekend, we took our youth to camp. That's where a lot of them are. I pray that they get down the mountain and safely back to us this afternoon. It was amazing. Over 60 of our students, middle school and high school, we go to Estes Park, the YMCA, the Rockies. Seth's doing a great job. The leaders are doing a great job. It was awesome. And I was able to be there. And Saturday morning, I got to preach. And guess what my message was? Seth said, Derek, I just need you to preach the gospel. And I said, all right. And part of the message and the introduction, there's almost 100 people in this room. And I asked the students, who can come up here and share the gospel in 60 seconds? Not only who can, who has enough courage to do that? And it was so cool. One of our youngest girls raises her hand, fearless, her shoulders back, gets in front of all the youth, and in 60 seconds shares the gospel. It was amazing. As I'm thinking of this, for church, what is important? Here's what's important. If I ask the same thing this morning, everyone take a deep breath, I'm not. Could you come and stand in here and in 60 seconds share the gospel in a way where you know who you are in Christ and you present an opportunity for someone else to get redeemed by the blood of Christ? Could you do that? We can get a lot of things wrong. We can't get this wrong. And if you're here in all humility, it's like, man, I don't know if I could do that. Not, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I could do that. Talk to us. Talk to us. We'll help you. Make sure you understand it and you can preach it. And notice the text. Look at what he says next. He says, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. This blew me away. Here is the Apostle Peter saying to those who he's writing to, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that he came, he died, he rose again, and you confess your sins and you have faith in that, your faith is equal, same kind, underline that, as his. Whoa. Equal in rank, position, honor. If you believe in Jesus, whether Jew or Gentile, you have the same faith as the Apostle Peter. You have the same saving faith as Paul. There's no difference. There's no hierarchy in the kingdom of God. There is not haves and have-nots. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. Peter knows that. Don't call me Pope. Don't look at me. Listen, if you trust in Jesus, our faith is the same. Is that cool? Augustine, he's a Christian theologian, philosopher, lived during the 4th and 5th centuries. He's considered one of the most important figures in the development of Western Christianity. He writes, when he heard this equal faith, when he heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit was regenerating him, opening his eyes to see it, this is what he says. He said, he cried out to God, you command me to have faith and I don't have it. So give me what I do not possess. Make me what I am not. Wow. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray as you hear the gospel, how loved you are, that this would be the same cry of your heart. Lord, I want to possess you. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. All you have to do is cry out to him. And if you do that, this is the cool thing. When you open up the Word of God, your faith is the same of the saints. Today is the day of salvation. Do you know Jesus? What in this world can be better than that love? So here, Peter in his salutation, he reminds what is true salvation. It's rooted in Jesus Christ. But notice where he goes next. You experience the power that Christ provides. True salvation is built upon the power that Jesus Christ has placed within us. Look at verse 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So not only does faith in Jesus save us from the penalty of sin, faith in Jesus saves us from the power of sin. Say amen if you heard that. It's not just, oh, I said this prayer and I'm saved. No, God, say that prayer. That's where it might begin, but God has so much more for you. And he wants to place his Holy Spirit inside of you and give you the power to overcome this body of flesh and to live for him. And he does that by placing his Spirit inside of us. Friends, you know how blessed we are in this grand narrative of redemption? Do you know how blessed we are where we get to live and sit, that we're post-Pentecost? The prophet Ezekiel, he looked forward that day where the power of God wouldn't just rest upon people, but be within them. Listen to what he says. Ezekiel 36, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Ezekiel looked forward to that day where the church would be empowered from within by the Holy Spirit. Jesus looked forward to that day. In John 14, he tells them, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. This blows me away. Jesus, he knows he's about to go to the cross. And he's talking to the disciples and he's saying, listen, it's great that I'm here and I can protect you and I can multiply some bread and fish and feed you. But you have no idea what's coming, church. A better day where I'm not just going to be alongside of you. I'm going to be within you. And that power that rose, allowed me to rise from the dead, is going to be inside of you. That's what Paul, speaking to the church in Rome, says this. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who has raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That same power that rose Christ from the dead is in our lives, inside of us, if you are in Christ, to give us strength, to give us victory. We are not victims. We are not defeated. We are more than conquerors because of his spirit within us. Do you believe that? And listen to what he says. Look at the text. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Underline that whole verse. When you are saved, at that moment you are regenerated. At that moment you're a new creation. At that moment you accept Jesus. You have everything you need at that moment for life and godliness. You have everything you need to be a bondservant of his. Church, be careful. Be careful if anyone tells you that at salvation you are incomplete. Be careful if anyone tells you that you need a second baptism, a second anointing. You need some ecstatic gift. You need some signs and wonders. That is not biblical. It's heresy. At salvation, we have all we need. We have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We don't need more of the Holy Spirit. You know what? He needs more of us. Amen? For us to abide. For us to surrender. Have you ever experienced one of your kids or grandkids just wanting a certain present? They want your phone to look at it on Amazon, and they talk to you all the time, and they want this present, and you're just like, oh my gosh, stop talking. But then Christmas comes, so you're like, all right, I know what to get them. I'm going to get them this present. So you get them the present, and you're excited. Christmas morning, they wake you up. You go down to open presents. They know exactly which one it is because they've already measured it and felt it. And they open it first, and it's everything they dreamed of. They want to play with it right away. So they open it up, the box, and then all of a sudden, you realize what? Batteries not included. And the air of the room, the joy and excitement turns to like, and then your wife gives you that look. She doesn't have to say anything, you know. You're getting your keys and you're going to get batteries. Here's what Peter is saying, church, this never happens with the gospel. All the power that you need is included as salvation. You are complete. You are secure. You have this promise waiting for you. And all we have to do is yield. Well, Pastor Derek, I don't feel empowered all the time. Look where Peter goes next. Look what he says. Through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. There. What does Peter do? How do we feed the Spirit? How do we walk in this power? We feed the Spirit by the Word of God. Through the knowledge of him, we're never satisfied. God created it. We're apart from him. We could do nothing. And if you want to walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit, it comes with knowing his word, loving his word, growing in knowledge of his word. And as you're in his word, the Holy Spirit is strengthened. Well, Pastor, I don't have time. Okay. Well, then the power is going to be limited. We make it so hard, don't we, church? Here, Peter is saying, we have all we need for sanctification. It's God doing the work in us and through us anyways. But how is this power activated? Through the true knowledge of him who has called us. You want to overcome sin? Read the Word. You want to protect yourself from false teaching? Read the what? The Word. Most of us, as we gather, we believe Jesus has everything we need for salvation. We don't struggle with that. We trust in that. But if we would be honest with each other, Jesus providing everything we need for life oftentimes is a completely different picture. Here's what God is saying. Whatever you're going through, you need to hear this. Whatever you're going through, if you're in Christ, you have the power to persevere and overcome. We don't need anything outside of the walls. We don't need anything in the physical world. We have the spiritual world, and the help and the power is from within and not from the outside. You need wisdom for raising kids. It's in the Word of God. You need courage in the face of opposition. The power is inside of you. Feed it with the Word of God. You need peace under pressure. You need faith in the face of tragedy. You need comfort in bereavement. You need love when you feel alone. Do you need healing when you're wounded? You need strength when you're overwhelmed. Do you need power to overcome addiction? Here is the good news. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. May we walk in freedom. May we trust God's word. And may we give him all the glory. Ephesians 3 says this, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the what? Power that works within us." True salvation rests in the person of Jesus Christ, the power provided through his Spirit. The last point this morning will be done. True salvation is built upon the promises of God. Look at verse 4. "For by these he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." As if it couldn't get any better. You have salvation in Christ. You have power within to overcome. And now Peter says, church, be reminded, you have the promises of God raining down on you spiritually at all moments. Who's grateful for that? And notice what he says. He has granted us, underline that, those who are in Christ, these promises that Peter says are precious and magnificent. Many agree that there are thousands of promises within Scripture for believers, covering areas such as salvation and peace and provision and guidance and protection and eternal life. So much so, John Bunyan, the author who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he says this, "The pathway of life is strewn so thickly with the promises of God that it is impossible to take one step without treading upon one of them." We take a lot of steps. And he's saying, there are so many promises for the saints, the sons and daughters of God. It's impossible to step without treading on one of them. I love that. Well, what are some of the promises? We'd be here all day. Here's a challenge. One of you, especially if you're type A, find every promise in the Bible. Let me know when you do. But what are some of these promises? Just take a deep breath. Believe this. This is what God wants us to walk in. Power, security in Christ, and knowing that these promises are for us. He wants us to be more excited about him and these promises than we are about the new car and the new house and the new kitchen and winning the lottery, that Christ would be of greater value. Here are some of the promises. Eternal life. Blessings in the heavenlies. I like that one. Abundant grace upon grace upon grace. That you are never alone. He will never leave you or forsake you. that he will supply all of our needs, physically and spiritually. If he can take care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, friend, brother, sister, you are not forgotten. Help, instruction, joy, wisdom, eternal rewards, to become partakers of his divine nature at salvation and the kingdom come. And that's one of the greatest promises. Don't forget it. One day we will be with him for all of eternity. And if you are in Christ, nothing can separate you from that promise and his love. So much so, Jesus says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What an amazing promise. God has prepared a place for you for all of eternity. Just that one alone, we should be skipping outside of church when we leave these doors. Come on, Cole, skip home. "Well, Pastor Derek, I just don't believe it. I've been let down my whole life. People have promised me all kinds of things and it never comes true." I get it. Trust in God's word, not your experience. 2 Corinthians says this, "For as many are the promises of God, in him they are yes and amen." In Christ, the promises are yes and amen. So here's my question to you as we close. Do you have true salvation? Do you have the same precious faith that the apostles had in Peter? Is your faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins? Is your faith in the biblical Jesus, not the experiential Jesus or the emotional Jesus, but are you trusting in the Jesus of Scripture? Does your salvation involve the power of God? Are you seeing victory in your life because you're growing in likeness and image to him through his word? And do you have a faith that even in the darkest days, when the clouds are the blackest, that you know that this book is filled with tons of promises that speak life, joy, and hope over your life? May it be so. I want to end, look at verse 2. I'm going to end with what Peter was praying and hoping on the church, and is my prayer and hope for you as well, Applewood Baptist Church. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God to the people of God for the glory of God.